The most profound thing that you'll ever hear in your life is this. I promise you, you'll never hear anything more profound than this. The holy, righteous, perfect God that you sinned against came to this earth Himself and paid the penalty for your sin against Him. Can you think of anything more profound than that? That Almighty God would take on flesh and blood to come here and pay the penalty for our sin? And while He was here, and even through the prophets and throughout Scripture, this same God talks a lot about money. In fact, if you've been going to the small groups, you've probably learned some of these things, but there are about 500 verses in the Bible about faith. And there's about 500 verses in the Bible about prayer. But there are 2,350 verses about money and possessions in the Bible. It's a big issue. And when I think of the profound teaching of Scripture, one of the most profound things to me is something that Jesus Himself said. When Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And we can try to explain that away or go around it or make excuses for us, but you can't avoid that. Jesus said, if you see where you spend your money, you're going to find out what you're really into. And it's true that your money is like a spiritual gauge. When you look at your attitude towards money and possessions, it's going to tell you something about your relationship with God. We talked about that last week in our Sunday school class. In Luke chapter 18, you see a rich young ruler who wouldn't lay it down and walked away from Jesus. And in Luke chapter 19, you see Zacchaeus, the wee little man, who was saying, I'll give half my goods to the poor and I'll pay back anybody I've defrauded four times what I ripped them off. And you see Jesus commended him and said, salvation has come to this house. But you have to see in both cases, it had something to do with money that either got in the way of the relationship with Christ or confirmed that there was a change of heart towards eternal things. Today we're going to be talking about getting out of debt. And I heard a story a couple of weeks ago about this man who jumped off the roof of an 8-story building. And he was plummeting past the 7th floor, past the 6th floor, past the 5th floor. And there was somebody in the 5th floor that overheard the man who was plummeting say, as he flew by the window, he heard him say, well, everything's okay so far. And you realize that's how it is with debt. We can be plummeting and plummeting and plummeting and plummeting. We think everything's okay. But the problem is hitting bottom, right? That's the problem of jumping off the roof. It's that sudden stop at the end, right? Well, that's how it is with debt. It might not feel like such a crisis. It might not feel so bad going into debt. But when you hit the end, that's when you run into some problems. How many of us in the last week got an offer in the mail to apply for a credit card? Anybody in the last week? How many would say that you get one just about every day? Is there somebody who would say, okay, now, why do those people want to give you all that money? You know, they don't want to give you money, do they? It's funny, it's a kind of a running joke at our house, but when I get those ones in the mail, it'll say, Jeffrey S. Miller, here's a check for $3,500 that you can use to go on that vacation or to do this or do that. And I always open up, I'm like, Aaron, look! Those people with Discover Card love me so much, they gave me a check. Let's run to the bank now and cash it. Let's just think of all the stuff we can buy. And she's like, you have to pay that back. And you do. You have to pay it back. There's a catch, right? They're not just sending you a check for your birthday or something. You see, the reason they send you all that stuff every day is because they're going to make money off of you. That's why you get that. Now, debt is not prohibited. In fact, Scripture gives guidelines for lending. You see, and God wouldn't tell us how to help other people sin. You see, if going into debt at all was a sin, then God wouldn't give us principles for lending to people, because why would we help other people be in sin? But But when we look at what the Scripture teaches about going into debt, the best way we can put it, it is discouraged and it should be avoided. So let's talk about that. What does the Bible say about debt? Number one, like I already said, debt is discouraged. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Debt is discouraged. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, kind of a key verse in discussing this subject. It says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other." And as I heard one preacher put that, you know, love is the debt that we pay daily and always owe it. And you see, when it comes to love, we never get done loving people, do we? That's not like, well, I loved him a lot last week, or I really, you know, showed the love of Christ to her, you know, a month ago, so I'm kind of laying off that for a while. No, we're always in debt to love. Every day we owe that. It never gets paid off. It's the first part of that verse. Owe no one anything. Debt is discouraged. Well, the question is going to come up. We have to deal with this off the bat while we continue to look through the Scripture. But when is debt acceptable? You're like, I hear what you're saying, but you know, everybody has debt, right? Everybody has some degree of debt. When is it acceptable? Well, actually, the Bible is silent about when using debt is acceptable. You don't see in the pages of Scripture, "Thus saith the Lord, here is when you must, or it is permitted to borrow." And we've been doing a study through Crown Financial Ministries, and their opinion is that it's permissible to owe money for your business, for the purchase of a home mortgage, or for education, for your vocation. And you're going to be covering some of these things in your small groups this week. But they encourage, and we encourage as a church, that if you borrow for any of those reasons, to follow these guidelines. Make debt the exception and not the rule. Make it the exception, not the rule. Don't make it the standard that you do everything. Plan to repay what is borrowed as soon as possible, and to create a written repayment plan. Again, you'll talk about that in your small groups, just to touch on it here. But debt is discouraged in Scripture. Why is it discouraged? Well, number two, debt is considered slavery. Now, that might sound like an awfully harsh term for having a credit card, but those are the terms that God defines it in. Debt is considered slavery. Proverbs 22:7, another key verse for this subject, says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender." So you see, debt is considered slavery. What that means in a real practical modern day terminology is this. You don't have full freedom to determine how you want to spend your money if you've already obligated to other people. You see, if you've already pre-purchased things and rung up huge credit card bills and you're in the process of paying that back, that money that you're paying back and the interest that gets on top of that is already obligated, so you don't have the freedom to do with that money as you would wish. You see, we'll talk about this in a little bit here when we talk about giving unto the Lord. But you see, it also kind of inhibits your giving unto Him. If you have a friend in need, you're like, wow, this person needs, you know, some help with their rent or help. I'd love to help them, but I don't have it because all my money is already spoken for this month. You see, that's slavery. Or I'd like to give more to the church, or I'd like to send more to Barnabas or to the Mitchells. I'd like to give more to missions, but my money's already spoken for because of that car that we bought or because of that new home entertainment system that we bought that we're still paying on or whatever. But debt is considered slavery. Your finances are under bondage, so to speak, when you're obligated who to pay back to. Number three, in the Old Testament, debt was considered a curse for disobedience And freedom from debt was a reward for obedience. And you can follow along on the wall here with me, but this is from Deuteronomy chapter 28, just some selected passages here. But God, speaking through Moses to the people of Israel, said, "But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. The sojourner who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower." Now here again is the money application that God makes. He says, "He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him." So you see, that was part of the curse. Is you're going to have to borrow instead of, same chapter, Deuteronomy 28, look at the first couple of verses, and then verse 12, says, "If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. The Lord will open to you His good treasury, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow." So you see, this was God addressing, you know, the nation of Israel, but there's some principles here to say that the debt is a curse for disobedience. Being out of debt is a blessing for obedience. What else does the Bible say about debt? Number four, debt presumes on the future. What we mean by that is when we go into debt, what we assume by that is we're going to earn enough income in the future to be able to pay that off. That's what we assume. You know, I don't have the money for this now, but I'll just buy it on the credit card and I can pay for it down the road. And, you know, whether you're just going into college or, you know, the college years are still fresh in your mind as they are in mine, I think of people that went to college that took out the maximum loans. And their mindset in doing that was, well, when I get out, I'm going to have such a good job, I'll have these paid off in no time. And sadly, I've seen just too many college students use that as an excuse for, you know, their irresponsibility. I'm not going to have to work. You know, I'm not going to have to try to earn. I'm not going to have to try to manage my money. I'll just borrow the maximum amount. I'll just live off of that. And then when I graduate and make my first million, I'll just go ahead and pay that off. But that is presumption. Look in the wall with me at James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit.' Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" So you see, God's word, you know, forbids presumption to say, "I'm just going to assume that everything's going to go as I think it will," because God might have other plans for that. Then number five, what does the Bible say about debt? God's people should repay their debts as promptly as they can. That's something that should characterize Christians. That if you're a Christian and you have some debt, your mindset should be, "I want to pay this off as quickly as I can." Again, this isn't our opinion or even Crown's opinion. This is God's opinion. Psalm 37:21 says, "The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives." So if you're somebody that's in debt and you don't pay back and have no intention to pay back, you're characterized as a wicked person. Proverbs 3:27-28 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come again tomorrow, I will give it,' when you have it with you." God's people should be characterized by generosity and debt repayment. So when we talk about debt, this is something, again, that probably affects every one of us to some degree. And sometimes we've got to do a little surgery. Sometimes there has to be a little cutting before there is some healing. So I encourage you, just as we had sung with the worship team, open the eyes of my heart. Let's pray that God would open our eyes in this area. Let's talk about some factors that lead to debt. How did we get into debt in the first place? If anybody else there that you're like, wow, I didn't realize that we gathered that much debt. Or how did we get into so much debt so quickly? Well, here's how you get into that. First of all, it's for lack of knowledge. Honestly, some people just have not been trained how to handle money God's way. Maybe you grew up in a home where it wasn't discussed. What does the Bible say about money? It's, well, here's what Dad says, or here's what Mom says. Might be different. But some people just have the lack of knowledge. That's why this study is so important. And if you haven't joined one yet, it's not too late to jump in. It will be such a blessing when you look at how God wants you to handle His money. But most people just haven't been trained to handle money God's way. I know before I became a Christian, I had no idea how much the Bible said about handling money. And how in that area, just like every other area, God's Word is truth. So it's lack of knowledge, but also another factor that leads to debt is lack of planning and discipline. Many people spend impulsively because they don't have a budget plan. They don't have anything written down. And the modus operandi of spending is, well, I'll swipe the card and hope it works. I hope it won't be denied. And that's how I'll know if I still have money. But that's lack of planning and that's lack of discipline. In the same token, another factor that leads to debt is indulgence. Some people spend in an attempt to satisfy their desires. You know, a woman might buy that new outfit, and a man might buy that new boat. But it's to satisfy the flesh, to say, I want it. I'm not going to save for it. I deserve it. I'm going to have it. Another circumstance, or another factor, at least the debt is circumstance. Some people use debt when they experience, whether it's an unexpected emergency, an illness, a loss of their job. And they go into debt for that reason. But what I want you to see is debt isn't the main problem. You know, it's like if you ever have done some weeding and you're trying to pull weeds and you grab that weed and you just pull the leaves off but you don't get the root, you know what's happening next, right? That thing will be back tomorrow because you didn't get the root. Well, that's what debt is. Debt are the leaves on that weed. And the real root of it has to do with greed and or impulsiveness and or no discipline. And see, that's what we need to get to the root of when we consider debt. Those are some factors that lead to debt. I want to talk with you for a minute here about the mentality of debt. In case you're sitting here thinking, you know, this really doesn't apply to me. It's okay for me to be into debt. Well, hang on a second. Let me ask you this. Is this your mentality? You're going to fall into one of these categories. If you think going into debt is okay, here's the debt mentality. One assumption is we need more than God gave. As you can sit back and look, and would we ever verbalize this to say, oh dear God, I thank you for what you gave me, but it really isn't enough. I need more. And that's debt mentality. Meanwhile, God is saying, well, if you actually needed more, do you think I would have provided more? Does God give us what we need? Yeah. But going into debt is a way of telling God, I need more. In the same way, number two, debt implies that God doesn't know best what our needs are. And I'd ask you, what message does that send to God? Like, God just doesn't understand. I need this. I have to have this. And I can't wait for it. Also along the same lines, number three, another debt mentality assumption is God failed to provide. Now we have to do it. You know, why trust God when we can get alone? And I know, again, it's a touchy subject. There's going to be opinions all over the board. But personally, I'm not in favor of the church going into debt for a building project. Because that's showing, you know what, God? We don't need to seek you. We don't need to trust you. We don't need to turn to your people. We'll just get a loan. And that's presumption, to get the loan and then afterwards say, okay, God, now help us repay this. That's presumption. Almost like we painted God into a corner to say, now you have to provide because we're in debt. And Psalm 115 says that God does whatever He wants. God does not have to provide. God might let us feel the sting of our sin. I heard one preacher one time, he got up, he says, I got good news and I got bad news. He said, the good news is with this new building project that we're going into, we have all the money that we need to do this building project and we won't have to borrow a nickel. That's the good news. He says, here's the bad news. The bad news is that money's in your pocket and you need to give it. But personally, I'm not in favor of going into debt. I am in favor of seeking the Lord and allowing Him to provide. Number four, along the same lines, if God doesn't provide, if this is something we really feel that God wants for us, we can find another way. And all I really need to say about that is remember the story of Abraham. That was Abraham's mentality. Well, God said I'm going to have a kid, but it's not happening, so I'm going to give God a little help. And we're still paying for that. There's American soldiers still over there fighting that war between Isaac and Ishmael. Number five, today's income can make the debt payment, so should tomorrow's. Again, that's presumption. And number six, our circumstances won't change. I won't have to take time off of work because of a health issue. My job's always going to keep paying me what I'm making now. That's a presumptuous assumption. So if you're in debt, if you have some debt, you need to ask yourself, first of all, how did I get in debt? You need to really look at that because that's going to help you with future decisions. And the second question you need to ask yourself as a believer is, how can I get out of debt? So as I wrap up today, I want to share with you seven steps to get out of debt. How do we get out of debt? Number one, this is very first. You probably would have guessed this. Pray and repent. You need to change your mind and your actions regarding money and things. Needs versus wants. Giving, saving, spending, credit, debt. Change your mind about those things. That's what repentance literally means. It means you change your mind. And the implication is your actions are going to follow. In 2 Kings chapter 4, in the first seven verses, we see a widow that was threatened with losing her children to a creditor. And she asked Elisha for help. You know the story. Elisha told her to go around and get empty jars from your neighbors. And the Lord multiplied her only possession, which was a little oil. All the jars were filled, and she was able to sell that to pay off her debts and for your children. Now, is the same God that ministered through Elisha, is that the same God that ministers here at North Street Christian Church? Isn't that the same God? He is. And you see, the most important step is to pray for God's guidance. We need to pray and repent. Another application of this, immediately give God the first fruits by giving back to Him a minimum of 10% of His provision. You see, that's a concept that we're kind of lost in our Western mindset, the whole concept of first fruits. You see, when Israel would have the harvest, they would, instead of saying, well, we're going to sell some and pay off this and buy this and do this, and then we'll see what we have left over to give God, their mindset was, we're going to take the first and best of our harvest and offer that to God as a way of saying, God, thank you for providing all of it. This is just a way of saying, you know, we appreciate that. But typically, that's not how we do it, is it? We'll see if there's anything left over that we can give to God. Instead of saying, here's my check, I'm going to give to God first because He's the one that provided it. We have to say to God, I recognize your ownership. We have to say to God, I trust you to bless my obedience. And it's self-contradictory to say, God, bless my finances, while on the other hand, you're withholding the money that you should be giving unto Him. You need God's blessing to get out of debt. I encourage you not to procrastinate your obedience. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. It's the last book of the Old Testament. I know there's a lot of people that would say, you know what, I hear what you're saying about tithing, but that's an Old Testament thing. That's not a New Testament thing, right? That's just an Old Testament thing. Well, actually, tithing is the training wheels of giving. That should be where you start. But you know the passage, Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. And he goes on, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. God says, when you withhold your tithe and your offering, you're ripping me off. You are reaching into my wallet and taking money from me when you do that. And you say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, here's why I wanted you to turn there. Jump up to verse 6. What does verse 6 say? For I, the Lord, do not change. That's the same God, and I believe that's the same principles apply. The same passage, God reminds us that He never changes, and then He says, don't rip me off by withholding what you should be giving me. If we're not going to be faithful in giving to God, we can't ask Him to be blessing our finances. Or to ask it another way, have you robbed your primary creditor, who is God, to try to pay off a secondary creditor, which is man? Some people think, well, you know what, I can't give. I can't afford to give. I'm gonna get out of debt and then I'll start giving. Well, not giving is not a financial solution. It's going to lead to more financial problems. You want more proof of that? Haggai chapter 1. Verses 2 through 11, God said that because they spent on themselves what they should have given to Him, God says He put holes in their purses. God might do that to you. He might put a hole in your checking account to say, you're not going to be faithful to me? I'll make things really hard for you. That's the discipline of the Lord. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, with the measure that we give to God, it's going to be given back to us. Do you believe that? So liquidate your assets. What can you sell to pay off your debt? Cut your spending, take your losses, but don't rob God. And stop rationalizing your debt habit. We can come up with all kinds of excuses why it's okay for us or this is. Don't rationalize it. Take it to God. So how do we get out of debt? First of all, pray and repent. Second of all, accumulate no new debt. Don't accumulate any more. If you want to buy something and you don't have the cash to buy it, you have to ask yourself, is this God's way of saying, it's not my will for you to have this right now? Is it God's way of saying, if I wanted you to have it, I'd provide it? I like this. I heard one person suggest that you should perform plastic surgery on your credit cards. He said, unless you can make the full payment every month when you use a credit card, you should cut it up. And he says, you know, statistics show and studies show that it's easier when you have the credit card, it's easier to put that down than cash. So for some people, you might need to do that. To say, the only way I'm going to get out of debt and not get more debt is to do some plastic surgery. Number 3, list all your debts and everything you own. You know, sometimes we think ignorance is bliss in our finances, don't we? To say, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to open the envelope. I don't want to know what it says. But we need to get real about it. Write it down. Here's our debts. Here's our monthly payment. Here's what we owe. Here's what the interest is on everything. At that point, you may decide if you should sell something to reduce the debt. Maybe you have a boat or a motorcycle or some furniture or something that you could sell to help pay off some of that debt. Number four, use a written spending plan or budget. Again, it's important to write things down, ensuring that your spending does not exceed your income. Number five, for your debts, establish a repayment plan for each debt. Don't run from the creditors, run to them. It's not like if you don't answer the phone that the creditors are going to be like, oh, they're not home, I'm just going to stop bothering them. You know, I've got their answering machine again. I mean, they're probably sick of hearing about me. I'll just forget it. No, don't run from them, run to them and say, look, I want to pay this off. A lot of them will work with you, but you need to run to them, not from them. Here's some real good practical advice if you're taking notes down. This is a good thing to do. When you look at your debts, look and see what your smallest debt is, or your debt with the highest interest rate, and pay that off first. Let's say you have a $400 credit at Target, and you're able to pay that off. Well, take the money that you were paying to that and apply that to the next one. And then pay that one off. And then take the money that you were applying to both of those and apply that to the next one. And you see those payments that you're able to make keep increasing, and you're knocking these things off one at a time. It's a good plan. Something else I'd encourage you to do is to seek godly counsel. Again, many of us, probably most of us in here, weren't raised to learn a biblical approach to finances. I know that I wasn't. And I know that I need, you know, my brothers in the Lord that I can go to and say, hey, help me out with this. Is this a good idea? Or what do you think about this? But God encourages us to have godly counsel. There's several passages in Proverbs. Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept instruction. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel plans fail, but with many advisors they succeed. 11:14, where there is no guidance a people falls, but in abundance of counselors there is safety. And those are just a few of them, but the Bible says over and over and over, it's okay to go to other people and say, hey, pray through this with me, give me godly counsel, help me out with this. That's okay. Actually, the Bible says you're a fool if you think you don't need that. Don't let your pride get in the way. I think we all would look at asking for help as a sign of weakness. But God encourages us to sharpen each other and to be the body of Christ, taking care of one another. Number six, if you're in over your head in debt, something you might need to consider doing is earning additional income. You know, when you look at what you owe and you look at what you're bringing in, you might need to get another part-time job. And the encouragement there, maybe, you know, instead of looking at like, I'm going to have this job, you know, for the rest of eternity and it stinks, you know, just look at it as a chapter in life to say, I might need this job for 3 months to pay off a couple of debts. And then at that point, once I get these paid off, I'll be able to pay my debts with the money that I'm making from my main vocation. So even if you have to do it for a season, it's worth doing it to get out of bondage. And then finally, reduce spending. Reduce spending. When you look at your income and you look at your expenses, you need to be looking for what you can cut down. You need to lower your spending. And you need to learn the difference between saving and spending. You know what the difference is between saving and spending? Saving is when you have more money at the end than when you started with. And spending is when you have less money at the end than when you started with. And you're right now saying, well, that's very condescending. But you know what? We think around that. This is why I have to bring that up. Let me give you a pop quiz. You go to the store and there's this sweater that you've been wanting that was $80. And it's on sale for $30. And you buy it. How much money did you save? You want to say, well, you saved $50, right? No. You spent $30, right? So you need to adjust your thinking a little bit. You know, with that line of thinking, you know, you could you could have a fortune saved up by all the money that you saved. Wives, you ever do that to your husband? You know, I got all this stuff, but I saved all this money. Where is it? So as we wrap up today, take steps to get out of debt. And I encourage you to avoid accumulating more debt now and to consider the eternal purposes that your money can have. In Luke chapter 16, another profound statement, Jesus Christ said that you can affect eternity with the way you spend money now. Do you believe that? Jesus said there's going to be people on the other side of eternity welcome you into heaven because you used your money in a way that glorifies God. Do you believe that? And if you're sitting here today just, but I have so much debt, and I hear what you're saying, I'd like to be free, just take it a step at a time. You probably didn't go into debt overnight. And you're probably not going to get out of debt overnight or in a month or even in a couple months. It's going to take some time. But look at what direction you're heading. Are you on a budget that's reducing your debt? Or are you on a budget that you're just spinning your wheels? Will you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Our Father in heaven, as we have taken some time today to talk about going into debt, God, we ask for repentance for our church. And God, I thank you for instructing me and God, I thank you for providing for me that even though I haven't always honored you the way I should with my money, with your money, not mine, it's yours. God, I thank you for just the teaching that you brought to me. And Father, I just pray that in humility that I just communicated to these folks here what you teach in your word. That debt is bondage. And it is your money. And you've called us to use it to affect eternity. And many of us can't even think about doing that because every penny is already spoken for. So, Father, with this repentance, I pray for a radical course of action. I pray that there would be people that would come and seek counsel from some of our brothers in the church here who help with this. I pray that the pride wouldn't get in the way, but that people would come and ask for that help. And Father, might there just be a time of celebration as we work through this to see how you're blessing those who are honoring you in the area of finances. And Father, as we go, I just pray that what we've examined from your word just implants itself and grows into a harvest of righteousness unto you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.